Today marks the 100th anniversary of the birth of Bob Wills. In the 1930s and 40s, Wills experimented with a mix of country string band music and big band jazz to help create an entirely original music form. It came to be called Western Swing. His signature tunes San Antonio Rose and Faded Love have become American standards. His records could outsell Louis Armstrong and Gene Autry. His dances often outdrew Glenn Miller and Harry James. Yet Will struggled with personal demons most of his life. NPR's John Burnett reports.
You can't walk into a dance hall in Texas without sensing the ghost of Bob Wills. At the famed Broken Spoke in Austin, the history is palpable because Wills played here in the late 1960s. Proprietor James White has created a sort of shrine to the band leader in a room off the low-ceiling dance floor.
Bob Wills, he was the most important thing I've booked out here, and he's been my hero all my life. So I figured it'd be kind of good to have a display case just for Bob Wills stuff. And I've got a Bob Wills cowboy hat. I've got Bob Wills his boots. I'm the only man in the world that's got a half-smoked Bob Wills cigar. So I'm real proud to have that.
Today, 30 years after his death, Bob Wills is one of those musicians whose mythic status grows larger over time, like bluesman Robert Johnson. Most of the original Texas Playboys are gone, but about a dozen are still around.
My name is Johnny Gimble, and I played fiddle and mandolin with the Bob Wills Texas Playboys from 49 until 52.
I know how to fake a fiddle. Johnny knows how to play one. That's the difference of the two of us. Johnny Gimble's a great guy, and they got some great boys with you here. Yes, it sounds good. What shall we do? Let's kind of do something to limber everybody up around here. Little courses around, Lone Star Rag.
His trademark was a big white hat and a big black cigar and an aha. And Bob wore a big diamond ring, and he would direct that diamond in a spotlight, you know. And when he was playing, that diamond sparkle, you know, with the movement. And he was a real showman.
James Robert Wills grew up on a cotton farm near the town of Turkey, Texas. He took up his father's instrument, the fiddle, and eventually left his job as a barber to join a traveling medicine show during the Depression. He teamed up with singer Milton Brown, who some credit as the true father of Western Swing, in the renowned Light Crust Doughboys. After Brown's untimely death, Wills' career took off, and he began to pack dance halls across the Southwest. And that's where a young Charles Townsend first saw him one icy night in Duncan, Oklahoma. Townsend, who is emeritus history professor at West Texas A&M University, is the author of San Antonio Rose, The Life and Music of Bob Wills.
When Bob came on that bandstand and they kicked that thing off, it seemed like everybody had, when that music started, was shocked, like an electric shock. Bang! Everybody grabbed their partner and began to dance.
That boy ran.
Bob Wills became a sensation. Worshipful fans followed him from town to town, like early day deadheads. They came to see him walk on stage with his broad grin and dark Cherokee eyes, and to watch the hottest cowboy swing band of all time. In all, more than 200 musicians passed through the Texas Playboys. Singer Tommy Duncan, electric guitar player Eldon Shamblin, steel guitar player Leon McAuliffe, pianist Al Strickland.
I'm Herb Remington. I played steel guitar with Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys for the years 1946 through 1950. Everybody that ever went to work for Bob, they knew who they were joining when they joined the Texas Playboys. Back then, to be a part of that band was every musician's dream.
My name is Leon Rausch. I sang with the Texas Playboys starting in 1958. We parted ways in 61. I enjoyed every second of it.
Former Playboys can't explain it, but Wills always knew how to get the best performances out of them, even when he was off stage.
We would know when he was in the building. It was the strangest feeling that we'd ever got
we used to tighten up just a little bit. I said, uh-oh, the old man's in the house.
Oh, Brother Leon, look out there, what you doing?
Bob Wills could not read music or arrange. He didn't know meter or chord progressions or orchestration, but his musicians stood in awe of him, and they rarely crossed him. Tommy Alsa produced and played on Wills' records in the early 60s. Alsop remembers one recording session at Liberty Records in Los Angeles when Wills' fiddle was flat. His longtime manager, Sam Gibbs, was sitting in the control room.
And I walked in there and I told Sam, I said, I think Bob's fiddle's a little out of tune. You want to tell him? Sam said, why don't you tell him? I said, well, you're his manager. I think you should tell him. He said, well, you're his producer. I think you should tell him. I said, why don't we just leave the damn thing alone? I put it out just like that. And it's a perfect record, except Bob's fiddle's a little bit flat all the way through it, you know. And
why didn't you tell him?
Well, I'm going to go in there and tell Bob Wills to tune his fiddle. You know, you didn't do that.
Deep within my heart lies a melody, a song of old San Antone.
San Antone.
Where in dreams I live with the memory, beneath the stars all alone.
New San Antonio Rose was the biggest of many hits for Wills. But his superstar fame masked his insecurities over his lack of education, he only made it to the seventh grade, and his lack of musical training. Herb Remington remembers Bob Wills was also painfully lonesome when he was on the road, which was most of the time. Remington recalls the band meetings that Wills would call when he'd been drinking.
He said, now, y'all sit down on the floor. We'd all sit down. He said, Eldon, stand up. Eldon Shamblin. He said, yes, sir, Bob. He said, okay. He said, you love me? Yes, sir, Bob. Don't give me any of your stuff now. Do you love me or don't you? Yes, sir, Bob. All right, sit down. Okay, so nobody laughs, you know, because this is serious stuff. He goes around the whole group, you know. Said, Herbie. Yes, Bob. He said, you haven't been here long enough to fall in love with me yet, have you? And I said, no, sir. But do you like me? And I said, yeah, I sure do, Bob. You're going to love me. I, yes, sir, I sure will. Sit down, Herb.
Wills battled alcoholism all of his adult life, says biographer Charles Townsend.
If he took a drink, then he got drunk and he got sick, deathly sick, and would have to go to bed for 2 weeks. And Eldon Shamblin told me that Bob would get drunk and they'd just take him on to the next spot, and the people would be mad. And Tommy Duncan, that's one reason Tommy had to leave, he had to answer that. Where's Bob? They paid to come and see the man.
For their part, the Playboys, despite their respect and affection for their band leader, came to hate his drinking, says Herb Remington.
You can cut this, as far as I'm concerned. I hate to talk about this stuff. Bob would be somebody else completely, somebody you never saw before, a brand new person. It's frightening. He wouldn't hurt you. That's not that. He just would become loud and abusive.
When Will sobered up, he always regretted his drinking, regretted the missed dates, regretted the harm he did to himself, to his family, and to the band. Some of his sidemen even quit because of it. Again, Johnny Gimble.
Nobody could understand why he'd want to do that. And he couldn't understand it either, but I think that he had a new master, old Jim Beam.
His drunkenness caused him guilt, says Charles Townsend, in part because of an old-fashioned belief that alcohol and dance halls were bad. Wills had preached briefly as a young man, and for the rest of his life, he felt that somehow he should return to the ministry.
He said, now, Eldon, call Billy Graham and tell him I want to quit this. And I can draw a crowd. And I want to play with Billy Graham, and then he preach. They would tell Bob. We tried to get a hold of him, but we couldn't get a hold of him. And yes, he was serious.
Bob Wills died in 1975 in Fort Worth at the age of 70 of complications from a massive stroke. 100 years after his birth, the music he helped create is very much alive. According to Western Swing Monthly, there are more than 100 Western Swing bands working throughout the country and more overseas.
I'm Jody Nix. Live in Big Spring, Texas. I am the leader of the band called Jody Nix and the Texas Cowboys.
Jody is son of Hoyle Nix, who wrote the classic Big Balls in Cowtown. He was a popular band leader in his own right and a close friend of Will's. As a young man, Jody got to perform with the aging legend. Today, the ghost of Bob Wills also dwells in the Nix home. Jody walks into his bedroom, opens the closet, and brings out a worn violin case.
It's my dad's old fiddle case.
one of the last ones he used.
He opens it and tenderly lifts out one of Wills's fiddles.
This was the fiddle that he started his career on with the Light Crust Doughboys in 1935. I hear a little Faded Love, Bob Wills style on here.
I'm John Burnett, NPR News.
As I look at the letters that you wrote to me, it's you that I am thinking of. As I read the lines that to me were so sweet, I remember our faded love.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Sheila Cast.